We all know that it's something that we are supposed to be doing, and most of us usually feel guilty because we're not doing enough of it, or at least we feel like we're not doing enough of it. Okay. The last 2 weeks, we have shared two main ideas. So if you weren't here for the last two sermons, here you go. You're getting the whole sermon in, I don't know, 5 minutes. Okay, first week, we talked about the fact that evangelism is not an event, it is a process. Okay, we've got to reprogram our minds to understand that evangelism is not a one-time event. We don't put it on the calendar and say, this Saturday we're going to go evangelize, and we're going to go knock on doors or go talk to people or chase them down through the park or whatever and tell them about Jesus and then feel good about ourselves that we did something. Okay, that's not evangelism. Evangelism is a process where we talk to someone, where we have a relationship with that individual. Okay, unless you have a scenario like you're on a plane and you're talking to someone, you do not necessarily have to feel like you have to get through everything to feel successful about evangelism. And in fact, even if you are on a plane and you're probably not going to see the person you're sitting next to ever again, here's my suggestion to you. Trust that God is going to lead other people in that person's area. Okay? Trust that you don't have to be the only one that's going to tell them about Jesus, that there is going to be other people coming along. If you're having that kind of conversation with them, guess what? They're probably looking for that kind of information. And they will find it when God leads other people to them. And here's the other thing. If we'll just pick on the youth group because they're sitting right here. Let's just say that the youth group represents a whole bunch of different people who don't know Jesus. They're all at different levels, you know, of how much they know, what they know, all that kind of stuff. If I find one of them that when I say, hey, would you like to hear about Jesus, they drop to their knees and go, what must I do to be saved? That would be awesome, okay, when you're talking to someone about Jesus. If I find someone like that, chances are there has already been other people before me who have already been talking to them about Jesus. And I should be grateful for all those folks. Because chances are you're probably going to find someone in an earlier stage that still has questions, that you still need to talk to, that you still need to build that relationship with. So evangelism is a process. It is not something that just happens on a one-time event. People have been programmed in their minds with false ideas for years. If you think you're going to take that all away in one conversation, you're a fool. Just that simple. It's going to take time. Second thing we looked at, week number two, we started looking at worldviews. And this is where it got a little deep and maybe a little more complicated. I tried to keep it so that it was very understandable and use some illustrations to help illustrate all those different points that we talked about. But when we talk about worldviews, it does get complicated because worldviews themselves are complicated. Okay? You can also wind up feeling a little overwhelmed when you start thinking about, I'm supposed to know about all these different worldviews and how to talk to somebody and all that. Oh my goodness, how am I ever going to share my faith? And unfortunately, a lot of people, when they get overwhelmed like that, they just shut down and they go, well, then I'm not going to share my faith. Okay? Wrong response. Should be, you know what? I'm going to get out there. I'm going to do it. And if I run into a question or something that I don't know, I'm going to go find that out. I'm going to go figure out what that answer is and come back to that person and talk some more with them. And that's going to be good for me and my faith because guess what? It's going to help build me up to understand some of the things that maybe I don't understand myself. Okay? But the reality is, no matter what your level of knowledge about Christ, no matter what your level of knowledge about worldviews and how to talk to somebody else, that doesn't matter as much as getting out there and actually doing it. If you are saying, you know what, God, I want to glorify you by getting out there and telling others about you, God's going to use you. You will be amazed at how much God will do through you just simply because you have that willing attitude that says, God, I'm going to do this for you because I want to glorify you. And he's going to use that heart for his glory. Okay? But that brings us to what we're going to talk about today. Today is going to be, last week was a lot of philosophical stuff, a little high-heady kind of thing going on. This week is going to be absolutely positively practical stuff, very down-to-earth practical kind of stuff. I want to talk about how to open up a spiritual conversation. How do you get to the topic of the spiritual life when usually we just kind of talk about things of life in general? Okay? Now, I'm going to give you a little list of some things and some ideas. This list is by no means exhaustive. It is meant to be representative. It is meant to be something that your little creative mind takes this idea and says, hey, if I just rework that a little bit, I could use that with my friend over here. Okay? That's what this list is meant to be. Some of the examples I give you, you might be able to use right out of the box, but most of them you're probably going to need to massage a little bit and get them to work for whatever your situation is. So, talking to someone about Christ, bringing Christ up in the conversation. First method I want to mention would be called the direct method. Okay? This is for all you extroverts. I'm not an extrovert. You're all you extrovert people out there, this is you, okay? Where you are just able to just bring up things out of nowhere, okay? That's you people, so pay careful attention, okay? Usually these are best done with other extroverts too, because if you ask too many direct questions of an introvert, he's going to run away. Trust me, I know, okay? He's going to run away. Lost my place. Talking with someone about religious things, and things in spiritual nature, regardless of what religion they are, okay? So let's say, for instance, you run into someone and you see that they have some level of spirituality, okay? You're in a cab, you're in some place or whatever, they've got little prayer beads hanging from the rearview mirror, or they got something sitting up on the dashboard that tells you, obviously, this person is religious in some way, shape, or form. Guess what? Ask them some questions about that. Just say, hey, I see that you're kind of religious. Can you tell me a little bit about what your religion is? And let them talk about that, okay? Now, even if they come back and tell you that they're Buddhist, they're this or that or whatever, unfortunately, for some reason, Christians over the years have developed this habit that when we hear that, we want to come back with six reasons why your religion is a joke, okay? Rather than actually listening to them and talking with them, not at them, with them, somehow we just jump straight to, hey, let me just tell you all the things you're doing wrong. There are some things that they may be doing right that we can compliment them on, but here's some other things. As you're having this conversation, you can talk to this individual and say, you know what? I appreciate you sharing with me about your faith and about your religion. I am a born-again Christian, and this is what this means. And you explain a little bit about what that means. And then, if you want to try and keep the conversation going, ask him a simple question. You know, if you'd like to hear the difference between Christianity and religion, I would love to be able to tell you. And what you've just done at this point is you have opened up a door where you can now share Christ with them, and you're going to find out their genuine level of interest. Because, you know what? Just because a person has religious items around doesn't make them religious. You know how there's nominal Christians? People who claim Christianity, but they don't really follow Christ? Guess what? There's nominal Muslims. There's nominal Buddhists. They hold to it in some way, shape, or form, but not really. So you may run into some folks like that. But that gives you the opportunity. You've just opened a door and says, hey, you know what? I'd love to share this with you if you'd like to hear about it. Okay? Another direct way that you can bring up your faith is ask someone the question, how are you? Okay? You know what they're going to tell you. What are they going to tell you? Fine. Okay. Okay? They're going to give you some very simple answer. Simple thing. Just ask them and say, you know what? No, I want to know how you are really. Tell me really what's going on in your life. And they're probably going to be taken aback by that and go, are you sure you want to hear about this? Then you ask some more questions. Say, yeah, I do want to hear about this. Okay? And then you got to listen some more. You got to listen to what's going on in their life. Don't, after a half hour of them talking about how they've been, you know, having problems with their kids and their wife and the dog and all this other kind of stuff is going wrong, and then you go, I'm so sorry I asked. Okay? You need to actually listen with genuine concern for this individual, okay? If by the end of that conversation, when you listen to what's really going on in a person's life, if you haven't found a way to bring Christ into the conversation yet, you can always end that conversation with simply saying, you know what? I just want you to know that I do care about you, and if you want to share these things with me, that's perfectly fine. But God cares for you even more than I do. So if you'd like, I'd love to pray with you right now. And then you've just brought Christ into the conversation. They now understand that you are coming from a very different perspective of life. Okay? Other opening questions for all you extrovert people out there. I'm curious what you think about spiritual matters. What's your spiritual background? What were you taught from a particular perspective? What do you think a real Christian is? Where do you think you're headed on your spiritual journey? All of these would be very direct questions to be able to launch into conversation about the spiritual life. Second method might be considered what you could call probably a little bit more indirect. Okay? Basically, the way this works is you're already having a conversation and you're using things around you to bring them over to the spiritual life. We saw that in our reading a little bit earlier from the book of Acts. Paul's walking around Athens, and he's looking at all these different things that are around in Athens, and then when he starts getting questioned about things, he's like, "What are you talking about, Paul?" And he's able to use things that he saw around Athens to help direct the conversation back toward Christ and say, "Here's what I'm saying." Okay? So that's what we're doing. So, for instance, if someone asks you how you're doing, rather than just giving the pat answer of, "Fine, okay, you know, whatever," ask them another question back. Let's see. My family's doing pretty well. Work, that's a little rough sometimes. But my Bible study and my guys group and everything that I'm going to, that's going great. What do you want to hear about? Okay. Now you just gave them three different areas and they just heard that you're a believer. Now out of politeness, most people will at least ask. Okay. Then you get an opportunity to be able to share just that much more. Okay. If someone moves into a new community, you have a great opportunity to be able to go and talk to them and just say, "Hey, you know what? Our church is over here. Here's what's going on. Love to have you come." That's a very simple way. If you move into a new community, okay, or even just move into a new street and these people don't know you on that street, and you say, "Oh, you know what? I love this new house. I mean, we're still in the same town, but I love this new house because I'm closer to work, I'm closer to the school, and church is only 5 minutes from here as well, so it's really easy for me to be able to get to wherever I need to be." Okay? Those are all different things. Most people will, again, ask you about church just to be polite. If somebody asks you about your hobbies, okay, what you do with your spare time, this is a great opportunity for you to be able to share the simple fact that this is the ministry that I participate in at our church. And by the way, that assumes that you are participating in a ministry at your church. Did you really think I was going to let an opportunity pass by to not encourage all of you folks to be involved in ministry at the church, okay? Which, by the way, I'm changing the direction of the sermon right now, but that's okay. Serving at the church, you got to understand, we've talked about this before. You are not serving the church. You are not serving the pastor. You are serving Christ by serving his body. Just that simple. When we start to think that way, I am serving God. What I am doing here is serving Christ by serving his body. That changes an awful lot about how we view being involved in ministry. But ministry is not the topic, so we will move on. Let's take the category of nature. You're out for a walk with a friend. You're able to say, "Look at all of this beautiful, wondrous beauty that God has created." And even pick out very specific things that you say, "I'm so amazed by this thing over here and how God created this wonderful thing." Or think about the variety of things in nature. The variety of animals, the variety of insects, the variety of whatever. Think about the way we react to different things. Say, "Man, it's interesting how God created us to, when we see that snake, we go, 'Ew, I don't want to be anywhere near that thing.' But when we see that cute little kitten, we go, 'Aw, it's so adorable.' And we want to pick it up." Okay? And when you bring it up, you may have someone who comes along and says, "Well, I don't believe in God. I don't believe that he created anything." Now, for you intellectual types out there, man, huge open door, okay? "I don't believe that God exists." "What? Oh, man, let's have a conversation about that." That would be my huge open door right there. I'd be like, "Whoo, this is going to be a fun conversation. Let's talk," okay? Because I enjoy that end of things. nature is a wonderful way to be able to get people to start talking about God. How about people's, well, for some people this is their first religion, but for others it's their second religion. Sports. Okay? The topic of sports can often lead into a number of conversations about Christianity. Because there are a number of Christians in even the professional sports. Okay? Talk about things like, how in the world do they maintain their faith when they wind up playing on Sundays? How do they put up with the pressures they have to put up with, considering the other people on their team who probably make fun of them or, you know, whatever, because of their faith? I don't know if you remember who Kurt Warner is. Kurt Warner was a quarterback, won the Super Bowl 15 years ago or whatever it has been now. Anyway, read an article about him. When he goes out with his family to teach his kids, and here's another mini sermon within the sermon, to teach his kids that because we have been so blessed, we should be a blessing to others. When they're out to eat, he lets his kids choose somebody in the restaurant, choose a family in the restaurant. Maybe somebody who's looking down or depressed or looks like maybe they can't pay for their meal or whatever's going on. And then they pick up the check without letting them know. But it's a lesson to the kids, and it's a way for them to express their faith, to say, God has blessed us with so much, and in this case it's materially, God has blessed us so much materially that we're going to use that to be a blessing to other people. Okay? Kurt Warner's a Christian. Later on today, there's some sort of a special game going on called the Super Bowl. And realize it or not, the quarterback for both teams, both strong believers. And in fact, out of the four teams that were left, three of them, the quarterbacks were all believers. Okay? There are a lot of Christians in sports, in major sports today. Okay? So it doesn't take a whole lot that once you key in on one of these folks and go, this person's a believer in Christ, and look at what they can do on the football field or the basketball or the whatever, man, you can bring up all kinds of conversations about Christ that way. One last indirect way to be able to bring up Christ, a shared struggle. Okay? If you are talking with someone about a struggle that both of you shared, okay, maybe you've already overcome this struggle and they're going through the middle of it, but this is something that you have both struggled with. Maybe you're both still struggling with it a little bit, but you have really found comfort and strength in Christ. Oh my goodness. What an open door. Okay? Let's say, for instance, you're a parent and you've been having problems with your kids and all this stuff, and so you go, you know, the person's talking to you and you're saying, oh, I'm having all these struggles with this kid and so on and so forth, and you're able to look them in the eye and say, you know what, I felt the same way that you did. I felt like I was inadequate as a parent, and the reality was, I was. Until I really found my strength in Christ. And when I found my strength in Christ, that was when I was able to really be the parent that I needed to be. You've just been able to take Christ into the conversation all because of a shared struggle. Okay? And that doesn't matter, whatever that issue is, you're going to be able to have that ability. Now, one of the other very common methods of being able to bring up Christ is inviting someone to an event. The only problem with this method is that most Christians terminate on that. They think that that is evangelism. I invited them to church, and now they're at church, and the pastor can get them saved, okay? I don't have to say a word to them. No, okay? You are not off the hook after you get that person to show up to church. The idea is that you are in a relationship with this person, so you walk with them through the whole process. And when they come with you to church, and you're driving home, or you go out to eat afterwards, or whatever you're going to do, that's when you bring up Christ. And you say, you know that stuff the pastor was talking about? Did you understand it? Did you get it? Okay? So let me give you a couple of tips about inviting people, making better use of inviting people to an event. Be careful of your selection of an event, because the event should be done with a sense of excellence. But it should also be an event that treats, quote-unquote, outsiders well. Okay? Someone who's outside the church, who doesn't understand church things, so on and so forth, they should not be making little snide jokes. They should not be doing they should be treating them very well so that they understand that they are very much welcome. Second thing, put something in their hand that gives them the details. That way they've got it, they can write it down, remember those things. But the third thing, and the more important thing, is offer to drive them to the event. Whether it's church, whether it's a concert, whether it's a whatever, offer to drive them to the event. And then, and I can't stress this one enough, talk to them on the drive. When you're driving there, talk to them about, here's what's going to take place. Here's what you can expect to have happen. When you're driving home, talk about, hey, what did you think of what the speaker said? What did you think about this music? What did you think of this? I do this with movies, okay? When I just went to a movie yesterday with a friend. And afterwards, on the drive home, of course, we have conversation about the movie, about what did you think of the movie? What did you think about this scene or that part or whatever? And in that process, when there's an opening to share Christ, guess what? I take it. Because there are lots of great illustrations that come out of Hollywood, whether they realize it or not, that you can point back to Christ with. Okay? Now, we live in a postmodern world, and in the process of having conversations with people, we have to understand that there's two things about postmodernism that we need to get. There's a lot of things, I'm not going to define it all, because partly it kind of defies definition anyway, but there are a couple of things about postmodernism that key in on what we are talking about here. People with a postmodern mindset, which is basically my generation and younger, okay? My generation gets mixed into it, younger generations are almost completely in it, okay? Two things that we need to know and understand. First one is, postmodern mindset and generation, they tend to like discovering things through questions. Through answering questions and things. And the second thing is, they prefer stories to what we call propositional truth. Propositional truth is just simply saying, this is the truth. Okay? It's just simply giving them the truth directly. Teaching someone with questions is nothing new. Jesus did this all the time. It was his prime teaching method. And in fact, Jesus oftentimes would answer a question with a question, which is something I used to do to my mother all the time and got me yelled at every single day, okay? She thought that it would never come in handy, and I'm like, but Mom, I'm just being like Jesus, okay? But anyway, asking questions is one of those ways that we can teach people, okay? Because postmodernism questions everything, we cannot expect just to be able to tell them what they are supposed to believe. We have to help them discover it by asking questions to point them in that direction. We can tell them all day long about the inadequacies of their belief, but if we don't help them see it by these questions, they're not going to respond. Okay? So our role is to demonstrate genuine love and guide them in questioning their worldview, so that they look at their worldview and go, wow, maybe this isn't as smart as I thought it was. And then they go searching for something else. And then you can guide them toward Jesus. Okay? All of this is going to take time. We talked about this last week. We talked about the worldview of relativism. We said there's a lot of people who believe that everything's relative. Okay? Your truth is not my truth, and that's okay. That doesn't work. That only works for opinions, not for truth. Okay? But it takes a long time to help someone get their mind reprogrammed that those things are not accurate. Okay? We call that having spiritual blinders. Okay? They can't see the truth because they are blinded by it by Satan himself. And the only way those spiritual blinders are coming off is through the Holy Spirit and through prayer and through our loving guidance and asking them questions to help them to see the answers to these things. Now, having said all this, what do you ask them? Okay? Just said, you need to ask them questions. You need to talk to them in questions. What are you supposed to ask? And the answer is, I don't have a clue. Okay? And the reason I don't have a clue is every situation is different. Every person that you're going to talk to is different. And there's no possible way for me to stand up here and tell you, here's all the things you need to ask someone. It's not going to happen. Okay? Once you start that conversation, that spiritual conversation, you're going to need to learn to listen for the things that are off. And if you don't quite understand them, even if you're not able to say something to them right then and there, go study about it. Then come back to the conversation and go, hey, you remember what you said last time about this thing? I was just wondering, because I read this article about, and then tell them what you just heard and ask them some questions about it and interact with them on those things. Okay? It's a time when you get into that conversation to be in prayer, to be relying on the Holy Spirit. That is part of what our faith is that God is going to be the one to change people's hearts. And it's a time to rely on our own ability to reason in some ways, that God has given us good minds. There are, in this church, there are some very sharp-minded people. Okay? I've been here long enough to know that there are some very sharp-minded people who can pick out a weakness in an argument from 50 yards and be like, yeah, that's a problem right there. Okay? And some of them, their minds think differently than me, and they see weaknesses that I don't see. And that's a good thing. Okay? It just makes us stronger in the end. I think sometimes people feel ill-equipped, but the reality is you're not ill-equipped, because if you have that heart for God, which we talked about earlier, that says, I am going to do this for God's glory, then that is going to be what God is going to use. He's going to use you for His glory. The other thing, we talked about questions for a postmodern world. The other one is using stories in a postmodern world. Okay, people in this day and age enjoy story. They prefer that over a simple statement of truth. They don't want to be told what to think. They want to be able to pull that out from stories. Now, if you're anything like me, I scratch my head and go, how is story truth? Story is illustration of truth. It's not truth itself. Okay? But this is what the generation prefers. So, just to suggest a strategy in using stories, use as many Bible stories as you can. Okay? And actually, if you can mix them in with your story, that's even better. But this is where your Sunday school education and all those stories you talk about in children's church and the things you teach the kids in our church, all of these different things become so very important. Okay? So, for example, using biblical stories. You can talk about the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. You guys all remember that story? Woman was caught in adultery, brought before Jesus, all that kind of stuff. And she is obviously publicly shamed. If you're talking to an individual who, for whatever reason, is feeling like they're being publicly shamed for something, they're feeling guilty about something, like their sin is now on display to the world, guess what? You just have a touch point with them in bringing them back to the story of Christ. Or, how about Zacchaeus? Y'all remember Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. All that. He liked to climb the tree, get up there so he could see Jesus, all that kind of stuff. He was rejected by the rest of society. Nobody seemed to like him. And we understand why, because he was a tax collector, and we understand what that means if you've been in church for any length of time. So he's up in the tree, and then Jesus is walking by, and he goes, hey, you, up in the tree, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, and we're going to party, okay? And now suddenly he feels accepted, because Christ has just said, picked him out of everybody else and said, I'm coming to your place. And in the course of that conversation, Zacchaeus really turned his life and his faith over to God. Again, another wonderful story to talk to somebody about who's maybe feeling rejected. You got tons and tons of stories. The prodigal God. The story of the soils, the pearl of great price, the mustard seed, the rich man and Lazarus, the friend in need and the middle of the night. All of these are different stories that most of them are in the New Testament, right there. The Bible is rich in different stories that we can use to touch with someone else's life and where they are at so that they begin to see the truth of what the Bible really is all about. Okay? So we need to learn to use these stories for our advantage in talking to someone. And here's the thing. If Christ used stories to teach people, which we know he did, okay? They're called parables. That's what we usually call them, but let's face it, folks, it's stories. If Christ used stories to teach people, then there's by no means no reason why we cannot be using stories to teach people as well. So my hope in all of this is that this is helping us to see, number one, our need for God's Word. Not only personally for ourselves, we talk about that a lot, but also so that we can share Christ with other people. Because the more we know God's Word, the more we can point them to various stories so that the people understand these different things. My hope is that we see just how deep and complex the problem is in society and that people so desperately need Christ. My hope is that we understand how we wind up contributing to the problem when we do not share Christ, when we step out of the process. We wind up contributing to this problem in society. And the lack of truth just continues to go on and multiplies further and further down the road. But we've got our work cut out for us. The prime thing that we need to do is trust in Christ, that He is going to be the one to bring Himself glory by our efforts, by the simple fact that we're going to trust Him, step out in faith, and follow after Him with all of that. Next week, we're going to go into the actual gospel itself. It's a little weird that we've spent 3 weeks in evangelism not talking about the gospel. Most of us know the gospel. It's all of this stuff beforehand that we need to understand so that we can get to the gospel. And once we get to the gospel, that's the glorious part. That's the wonderful part of telling them all about what Christ did for them on the cross. Let's pray. God, thanks for the morning. And Lord, thank you for just even your practicality and showing us various things on how we can teach others, teaching them through questions, teaching them through stories. Lord, we are grateful for your mastery of being able to teach others while you're here on this earth. We are so grateful for seeing that example. Lord, I pray that you're going to help us to be able to start learning that process for ourselves. But more than anything, Lord, I pray that you are going to put a burning passion inside every single one of us for learning how to step out there and seeking to take that step of faith to share Christ with those around us, whether it be co-workers, whether it be family members, whether it be neighbors, friends, whoever it may be, Lord. We need to be getting out there and really sharing Christ and helping them to see just how important it is that Christ really is the center of our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.